and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. There is a German proverb which says, "The oldest trees bear the sweetest fruit." This may be said about those who grow into the golden years of life. How precious you are with that collective measure of experience, relationships, wisdom, and love. And how important to recognize this when it comes to those in our family and our circle of friends. But what about when a person has aged and is on the verge of passing from this life to the next? What then? Our guest today has a special ministry with people in the shadow of death. We pause to remind you that the reason we have the Good Life Radio Show is to let you know, to remind you that the Lord Jesus Christ loves you and knows you, and if you are there on the verge of a grand transition from this life to the next, that Jesus loves you. He died on the cross for your sins. He shed his precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried and he rose again from the grave. And the living Christ today calls you, dear friend, to himself. Oh, how he knows you and loves you and knows exactly where you are and what you're going through. And as you listen today, wherever you are in life, know that God loves you so much that he died on the cross for your sins. Would you open your heart to Jesus Christ even today? Pastor John E. Bose was born and raised in Oklahoma until the eighth grade. He is a 1957 graduate from Fresno State, where he became a Christian his freshman year. Following his college years, he served for 5 years in active duty and 20 years of service in the Air Force Reserves as a chaplain. He felt called to be a missionary to Japan, where he planted a new church in Tokyo from 1965 to 1972. He was also a chaplain to wounded soldiers at Camp Zama in Japan from 1972 to 2001. He then pastored churches in Grand Junction, Colorado for 10 years, in Oregon for 3 years, and Hawaii for 12 years. His most exciting ministry was in Honolulu with Kalihi Union Church from 1989 to 2001. Kalihi Union Church finished a much-needed building expansion and prayerfully changed denominations during that time under his leadership. It was a victorious season of growth for Kalihi Union. His most recent ministry is helping caregivers and loved ones who are at heaven's door. He's very excited to be part of this Grace to Last ministry. Pastor Bose earned his Doctor of Ministry degree from Western Seminary in 1997. He married Charlotte McNabb after graduating from Dallas Seminary in 1965. He has 4 children, 11 grandchildren, and 2 great-grandchildren. He retired after 41 years of ministry and continues to serve people as he has done for his life of ministry. And I'm proud to say that I have been under the tutelage of Pastor Bose as an intern at Kalihi Union Church when he was pastoring, and how he opened up many doors for me in the name of the Lord to serve. Pastor Bowles, welcome to our show. It's so much of a privilege to have you with us today.
Well, thank you. It's my privilege, and you just bring back a lot of wonderful memories, you know, in our ministry together. So thank you for this privilege, Danny.
Pastor, you grew up in Oklahoma.
Yes.
What was it like growing up there?
Well, we lived on a farm, and I sort of liken it to Hawaiians here who lived on the plantation. We sort of made our living by cotton, picking it and selling it. And so it was sort of hand-to-mouth. We didn't do very well. And when we heard that California was the promised land, my dad couldn't turn it down. He says, we're going to California. So that's how we got there.
Where did you go when you ended up there in California?
We ended up going up the valley there, just working our way up the valley. We were pretty poor. We just took every job possible. And we ended up around Modesto, California, a little place called Ripon. And it turned out to be a wonderful place. And, you know, I was glad to call California my home. I think all of my good memories come from California. Hmm.
Who influenced you most in your growing up years?
Well, amazingly, I love sports. And in 1948, I began to play softball. And we used to play until dark. An old gentleman there came to all of my games. My father didn't come very much. And he would congratulate me after every game, and he took an interest in me that my father didn't take. And then I asked him, you know, why he did that. He said, well, he says he just loves me, loves softball. Come to church. Hmm. And he invited me to church, and he was the youth director, even though he was about 70 years of age. And he'd been praying for me for a number of years, and when I finally came to the Lord, he showed me that I had moved up to the top of his prayer list. And that's what really, I think, won my heart over to the Lord.
Hmm. Pastor, who says you can't be a youth minister when you're in your 70s?
That's right. Yeah, he never could sing on key, but boy, he could sing. So, yeah, we loved him, and he just touched our lives. I think out of our youth group, a half of them became ministers.
Hmm. What was it about him?
It was his prayer life. When he prayed in our youth group, not a soul moved. Never heard such a tender, loving prayer. And we didn't dare cut up when he did that prayer because we knew we might be on his list. And I think it was his prayer life. It just touched all of us.
I mean, when you mention so many becoming ministers...
Yes.
You know, it's very easy to fall into a trap of superficiality of ministry.
Yes.
Learning to do things, the ministry things, the sacred duties can be done in a carnal way.
Yes.
And yet, as you speak about your youth minister in his 70s, the depth of his prayer life, and you knew that even as a teen.
Yes.
How did you become a Christian?
Well, I went off to college at Fresno State and got a little scholarship. And after that first year, I realized I didn't know where I was going or what I wanted to do. And when I came back home for the summer up in Ripon, here was my youth director again, this older fellow, and he says, let's go to Youth for Christ. And I'd gone there, you know, a number of years. It was really fun and a great group. And when we went there, I heard a missionary preach about the gospel and the forgiveness of sin. And he gave an invitation at the end. And my heart was stirred. And my older gentleman, youth director, looked over to me and he says, Gene, which is my name then, he says, Gene, do you want to go forward? And I says, yes. He says, I'll go with you. I said, would you? And we walked to the front, and as I walked to the front, I was born again. Hmm. I was completely a new person. And the next morning, in church, he made me stand up and say what had happened to me. I'd never, you know, I'd never given testimony before, and I just stood up and told him that the Lord had changed my life. And last night, I became a Christian for the first time. So he put me right up in the pulpit the next morning, so which is probably a good thing for me.
Kind of a foreshadowing of things to come.
Yes, it was. And, of course, I didn't know it, but I thought, oh, my. I was scared to death, but people say they were really blessed by my short testimony.
How did you feel at that time?
Well, it was all new to me, but I knew I was a new person. There was a peace, and there was it was sort of like a relief from trying to run my own life, and now there's a peace and direction. I just felt like a new person. I'd never felt that way in my whole life.
Convergence point, a moment of decision. These times, as you're listening to the story of Pastor John Eugene Bowes, as you hear him today, these convergence points, moments of decision, are catalytic moments of our lives. You know, God can use them to catapult us to new dreams and new visions. And as God distills those visions in our hearts, He includes resources to allow those things to happen. Pastor Bowes has traveled in various parts of the world. He has been trained at the finest institutions, but he has, along with that, has lived a life of service for Christ and love for people. We're going to take a quick break right now when we come back. The exciting life of Pastor Bowes, John Eugene Bowes, as he speaks about how God led him to the mission field. How God led him to Dallas Theological Seminary, prestigious seminary that has developed some of the greatest Bible expositors today. And what an influence that has had on him and many others. But he has a unique ministry along the lines of caring for people on the precipice of death's door. He'll talk more about that when we come back. You don't want to miss this. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an e-book, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of new stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hear me calling. Hear me calling.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
It's one of those special gifts. You know, as the years go on, you can look back and you can see a thread that has gone through your life And when you look back at it, you can see the hand of God weaving through certain experiences that you've gone through that didn't really make sense at that time, or you couldn't really put it all together, but it comes to bear at this moment a reason, a purpose for why you went through those things, and it matters today, and God is using it today for His glory, for His purpose, for His plan, and you are a part of it. This is like the story of Pastor John Bowes, who is our featured guest today. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro, and it is a privilege for us to have you join us today. Pastor Bowes is with me, though he lives in Colorado, through telephone. You know, we can do amazing things. To find out more about our show, you might be tuning in right now and saying, hey, how can I get this show in its entirety? You can get a free podcast at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Again, thegoodlifehawaii.com. Pastor Bowes, we spoke about your conversion to Christ.
Yes.
How did the Lord lead you into ministry?
Well, that's sort of an exciting page in my history. When I graduated Fresno State College, I was an officer ROTC in the Air Force. And my orders read to London, England. There's a base over there. And as I was preparing to go to England, within that very week, it was changed, and they decided they would send me to Japan instead. So I ended up going to Japan. And while there, my first job was a prison officer. And I really didn't like that because I got to see the other side of life. Every Monday morning, I had to read all the bad things that the troops had done. And yet I had to put them in jail at the same time. And the Lord sort of showed me I'm at the wrong end of the scale here. I need to be in a ministry that will touch people before they get into trouble. So while I was there in Japan, I began to go to Japanese churches. And one year at Christmas, I invited a Japanese church to our chapel. Well, I never thought they would come, but all 50 people came. And as you know, in Japan, they wear these gettas in those days, and those are little wooden shoes.
Yes.
And when they came in the chapel, you could hear that click clock all the way through the chapel. It was an amazing Christmas with these Japanese people there. And from that point on, I started going to Japanese church, though I didn't understand anything they were saying. Well, I came back and went to Dallas Seminary because I'd heard some tapes of their speakers. And I thought I would be a pastor and all of those different things. But when it came time to graduate, I could not get Japan out of my mind. Everything I tried, the Lord closed the door. And finally, I got connected with SEND International, and I began to share my vision with them, and we just connected right away. And so I took training, about a year's worth of training in Michigan to be a missionary. And we went to Japan in 1966, and both my wife and I. And the Lord provided our monthly support within 6 months. So we knew that God's hand was upon us. And when we went there, we established a church that's thriving to this day. And all of that is to the Lord's glory. But my calling was through just a series of events, beginning with that change of orders. And then he laid the Japanese people upon my heart, and I just couldn't turn it down.
That certainly prepared you for a way, a unique way, a special way of connecting to people in Hawaii.
Yes.
When you came here to Kalihi Union Church after being there at Grand Junction, Colorado, and Oregon, coming to Kalihi, you connected so well with the people here.
Yes, I even used a little Japanese.
a little goes a long ways.
It sure does, yes.
You experienced, Pastor, some unique moments with Mrs. Bowes.
Yes.
With her line of work as a nurse.
Yes.
What happened?
Well, I think the Lord has prepared me for the ministry I'm doing now through some of the things my wife did in Hawaii. She was a hospice nurse for 12 years, and she would come home and share with me what is happening in people's life before they die, and how on some occasions she was able to lead them to the Lord or get them in connection with someone who could. And I remember her telling of one story of a Japanese-American lady, and she was dying, and she pulled my wife over close, and she said, "I'm hurting in my heart." My wife started to go to the other room to get the doctor, and she says, "No, no, I'm hurting." And my wife says, "Spiritually?" She said, "Yes, yes." And so my wife told me, and we told Maruya Sensei at our church, mm-hmm. our Japanese pastor, and he went over and led her to the Lord. And she died that very week. And my wife said the next day when she went in, that little lady pulled her to her side, and she says, "The hurt is all gone." Mm. And she could see a smile and peace on her face. Well, Maruya Sensei and I shared the funeral together. And afterwards, the relatives came and quizzed me and my wife, "Are you sure she's a Christian?" And we gave her this experience and the smile and the peace. And they said, "Do you know that we have been praying for nearly 15 years for this lady?" And the whole family, I think, were in tears when we gave them the assurance that, yes, this lady definitely came to know the Lord. And that just put a joy on the whole service. So that was an experience that, along with others, that sort of opened my heart to ministry to people who are, you know, at death's door, and what God can do at those last moments. And so that sort of led me to the ministry that I'm sort of in now.
What have you see, when you say the things that God can do when someone is, you know, at death's door, you shared this example in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. What have you seen the Lord do?
Well, we've seen people come to the Lord, as I mentioned, in my wife's ministry. And here in Colorado, I'm beginning to minister to those who are caring for their loved ones. And many times their loved ones are not able to respond very well, or they need a lot of attention. So I've sort of become a caregiver to those who've committed themselves to care for their loved one in those last days. And I think of my mother-in-law. When I came back to the States, I did some interim work leading me a lot more to minister to those who have special needs when they're dying, and that was my mother-in-law. So I would come down and minister to her, and I would make her breakfast for her, and she would tell me that I made the best breakfast. And that comment meant as much as anybody telling me I preached a big sermon. And that just touched my heart. And she'd go through doubts. She really said, "Why am I here?" And I would go down and read Psalm 23. And before I left, I could see a smile on her face. And so I realized that God is calling me into a little bit of a ministry where there's not many accolades, where they don't say thank you very much. But to see the smile on those who are in the valley of the shadow of death has been one of my greatest joys in these last few years. So with my mother and with my mother-in-law, just being there and minister the word of God and to lift her, to be there, the person she could count on, has shown me the tremendous value of friendship at the end of a person's life.
When you talk of friendship, Pastor,
yeah,
there is an unspoken understanding in friendship, the things that go beyond words.
Yes.
What is it that you have sensed or felt that your mother or your mother-in-law felt? What were their feelings like during that season of their lives?
Well, in my mother-in-law's case, her husband had died, and she had to trust somebody with her finances, with her future, with doing the best thing for her. And I felt like her confidence in me, I mean, was just, I couldn't believe how much faith she put in me. And for them to have somebody that they trust completely at the end of their life means so much to them. And over again, she would just thank me that she would, I was somebody she could trust. And I was somebody that would pray with her. And I was somebody that would be with her for the rest of her days. And I think that confidence that they have in us is just amazing.
There is a certain level of vulnerability. Of
yes.
course, I can say it, but I don't really know it. I won't know it until, if by God's grace, I experience that season of life.
Yes.
But in that vulnerability, I want to also mention, Pastor, that people can very easily feel, and correct me, please, if I'm wrong.
Yes.
Like their value has diminished as a person.
Yes.
Because they are not able to do the things that they used to do, where they might have been very vibrant before, a lot
yes.
of strength physically,
yes.
or their minds worked and were just clicking away, you know, as fast as a younger person would.
Yes.
Their emotions feeling as though they are not only lonely, but not as valuable as before. Do you find that to actually be the case?
Yes, very much so. I remember my mother-in-law was really crying one day, and my wife and I came down to see what was wrong, and she could no longer crochet. She
mm.
used to make blankets for all of our grandchildren, and she couldn't move those hands, and she was dropping the needle. And she said, you know, I'm just of no use to anybody anymore. And we just had to talk to her and reassure her, but it just took away her self-worth when she could no longer crochet. So you're right. People hit that point, and they really need our reassurance.
Well, I believe that as you're listening today, you're listening to Pastor John Bowes, Dr. John Bowes, Pastor Bowes has been a mentor of mine for many years, both in person and through long distance. And he's here sharing about his ministry. But as he speaks, I want you, number one, first to think and consider this and feel this. My dear friend, you might be in that very place where Pastor and I are talking about, feeling that hey, things have changed. You no longer have the lucidness that you had before. You're not nimble as you were before. Maybe your fingers, you too, can no longer crochet. Or maybe you're not as articulate as you were before. You've got good thoughts, good ideas, good intentions, but you can't articulate them. And you feel as though in this change of life, there's a devaluing. Pastor Bowes is here to remind you, oh, no, 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 you are loved by God. In fact, he sent Pastor to remind you of that through this very program. We're going to take a quick break right now, but as you're listening, hey, we're just at the midway point. There's more that Pastor Bowes has to share. His storytelling abilities skyrocket past on a scale of 1 to 10. He's beyond 10. And you don't want to miss hearing him when we come back, speaking heart to heart about matters of life and matters of the afterlife and the transition that we go through. Perhaps you're in that place right now. Maybe a mom or dad, an aunt or uncle is in that place, and you're the caregiver or you're a member of the family. How can you be around there to support them? It's such an important time in their life. We'll be back with more special golden nuggets from Pastor John Bowes. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me. I lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Yamashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Yamashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference. But where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waihua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waihua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
When you speak of somebody growing in age, often today a word comes up that is not very pleasant, but it is a reality that many go through, and that's the word Alzheimer's. Of course, Alzheimer's, as I've spoken with Pastor Bowles, you know, it's under the category, a broader category, of dementia. The thing is, it's not always just someone older in years, and that could be relative. Sometimes it comes upon people who are relatively young, and it begins the process of decline, and sometimes the decline is faster than we would have expected. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii radio show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. My featured guest today, Pastor John Bowes. We're speaking about the ministry of people on death's door and how to care for, encourage, be a blessing to them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Such matters of the heart, you can hear this, entire program. You can get the podcast for free at thegoodlifehawaii.com. I encourage you to listen to the dialogue, listen to the interview, because the things that Pastor Bowles shares out of his heart, you can feel the compassion, you can feel and sense the sensitivity, and I believe God will use it to not only inspire you, but to equip you. As we speak of things regarding Alzheimer's, dementia, and caring for people. Pastor, talk to us about dementia and those whom you have ministered to with that condition.
Yes. Well, Alzheimer's or dementia is a very difficult thing to deal with, because your loved one is changing, and there will be a day when you don't recognize them and they don't recognize you. My wife and I were meeting with some couples, about four of us, and for about 4 years. And about 4 years ago, we began to notice some differences in one of the men's wife. His name is Jim. And each time we would meet, she would be losing a little bit more of the ability to realize she's telling the same story over and over. And for 3 years, we've been following her, and she would get up and walk around, and she would leave the restaurant. We'd have to go get her. And finally, this last year, Jim said, I can no longer bring her out. And he used to have a card that he would give to a waitress, and it would say, my wife is struggling with dementia. Please forgive her if she acts a little different. And he'd give that card out. Mm. And these waitresses would just go out of their way to understand what he was going through. Well, Jim took his wedding vows very seriously. That is, for better, for worse, in sickness and his health. And he said, I'm not going to put my wife in a rest home. And so the last year, she is needs 24-hour care, and Jim does everything for her. He dresses her. He fixes her hair. He puts on the lipstick, not very well, the rouge and all of those things. And we can tell it when we see her. But we also know how much love this man has for his wife. And she's in hospice now, and she won't live too long. But Jim has taken care of her all the way. And I've had the privilege of ministering to Jim, the caregiver, helping him through this time. And the other day he said, when my wife dies, I want you to do the funeral. And to me, that is a great privilege that I have. So Jim got his idea, just to share this briefly, from Mr. McQuilkin, who was the president of Columbia Bible College. And one day in 1978, he noticed that his wife was telling the same story twice and didn't even know it. It was the beginning of the first evidence that she had Alzheimer's. He resigned from the college. He resigned from his public ministry. And he took care of his wife until death. And one of the greatest testimonies I have ever heard. And he wrote a book. He said, A Promise Kept, when she passed away. And he said, just to see her smile, that she knew he was with her through all of this ordeal was enough to make it worthwhile. So I'm in a support group also with Jim, and each one of the people in that support group has a mate who has Alzheimer's. And as a pastor, I'm able to encourage them, share a few verses, and I consider it a great privilege to help caregivers minister to their own spouses in this incredibly trying and testing time. So that's sort of where I am right now and what I'm learning. And I think Jim, my friend, is one of the most courageous men I have ever met. Mm-hmm. I've never met a man who would do this much for his wife 24 hours a day and is determined to do it to the end. I thought, boy, God's grace is abundant in Jim's life. So I'm blessed every day I see him.
Pastor, someone listening right now may be a caregiver.
Yes.
Or they may be a friend or a relative of a caregiver.
Yes.
If you were speaking to this dear one who is caring for their spouse, what would you say to them to encourage them?
Well, I think that most caregivers do not know how much help there is in a community, Alzheimer's, organization, et cetera. And being in a support group, I can see these people as they walk out. Their hearts are lifted, their smile is back, and they say, oh, you're going through the same thing. What did you do? And these support people meeting together are able to share incredible bits of wisdom in dealing with their loved ones. So I find the support group just beyond description as to how helpful it is. You don't have to go through this alone.
Take us into a time with your other men, your support group. What goes on? What do you discuss? What do you talk about?
Well, most of the time it starts out negative. I've had a hard time with my husband this week, or my wife is doing strange things. And then somebody will come up with an idea. If you're planning meals, sometimes the spouse, if it's a wife, forgets how to cook that meal or forgets that you made a decision to have a steak that night. Well, they'll forget it by noon. So this fellow said, what I do is put a little bulletin board on the refrigerator. I put the day down, and I put what we're going to have at night. And she reads it and finally understands. So what happens is everybody gets practical ideas as to how to deal with their mate and how to carry on some normal functions. So that's sort of an idea everybody shares, and pretty soon everybody's got an idea as to how to deal with their mate a lot better. When you're not feeling alone with your caregiving, it is so much strength for you to know others are going through it. I could call them. I can ask for help. And it's just like a camaraderie there that's really unique and very special.
Why do you think there are those, who take it upon themselves solely to bear the burden?
There's probably a number of reasons, but sometimes a guilt feeling, like, my spouse has been faithful to me, my husband has worked and provided for us all these years, the least I can do is give my very best to him. And what happens is the caregiver burns out, and the caregiver oftentimes can become sick or weak because they feel a sense of obligation, and they don't take care of their own bodies. For example, Jim, who's doing all this heavy work, we suggested he take a week off. And last week he took a week off and went, to his own hometown. And when he came back, he was so refreshed, I couldn't believe it. So the caregiver must take care of themselves first. If they don't, they're not going to be a good caregiver. And that's one thing that all of us have agreed on, is to make sure everybody is taking care of themselves first.
Sort of sounds like what I hear when I'm traveling. I get on the airplane, and one of the first things that we hear, if the oxygen masks come out from the compartment, to make sure we have enough oxygen before we help those around us.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think, in just sharing the way that you're sharing, talking about these things, and I have a sense, Pastor Bowles, that we're just really scratching the surface, but the fact that we're just talking about it means something. And
yes.
I want to do more. We're going to take a quick break right now. When we come back, we'll speak more with Pastor John Bowles about caring for, ministering to people who have Alzheimer's, people with dementia. Sometimes it goes even further and faster. Under dementia, there are various categories of condition that in this disease that can progress even faster. We'll talk story a little bit about that and other insights that are welling up in Pastor Bowles' heart to equip, to strengthen, to build you up. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of new stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry.
plus a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.org. Others have connected with us on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Valarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, L&S Marine Services Consultants, and RG Maintenance LLC. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 KGU, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
It's one of the most difficult times in life. And someone might say, well, Danny, no, it is the most difficult time in life. I'm talking about the passing of a loved one. This is a very heavy subject. I can't think of anybody better to speak about these things in relation to the things that we're discussing than Pastor John Bowes, one of my mentors, someone who I've admired and respected, and who is at this very time ministering to people in that particular phase of life. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro, and I'm grateful that you're with us. You're in for a real blessing in this closing segment of our show. Pastor, you've gone through it yourself many, many times, ministering to families whose loved one is on the threshold of death's door. But you also can speak of it in a much more even personal way. What happened?
Yes. Well, both of my mother and mother-in-law passed away in the presence of our children who were there. And they were both in hospice, and we sort of knew this was the last time. But still, it's real difficult knowing that they're passing away. And the hospice people are so helpful for us. For example, my mother said, I don't want to eat anymore. And we said, Mom, you've got to eat. And the hospice lady said, no, this is her way of closing out her life. And her body is saying, this is the end. And her body is cooperating with her decision that this is the end of life. And so we backed away and just let our mother, whatever she wanted or didn't want, we cooperated. And then we saw her pass away right in front of us, and the hospice lady said she only has a couple of hours to live. And she just took us through that death process. And so we were able to understand what she was going through and see our mother pass from death into a new life was quite an experience. And the same with Charlotte's mother. Just being there at the very last, knowing this is their last breath, seeing their last breath, it makes you hang on to every verse that you know about the resurrection. And you realize that, gee, our mother's just graduated. Mm. They just went from this life to the next. But to be there is an unforgettable experience, to see people breathe their last. Your loved ones are gone. And the hospice people just help you right through that process. And if you have a verse or two you hang on to, you sort of rejoice that graduation has taken place and they're in the presence of the Lord. And those have been some of our experiences that we've been with those that have passed away.
How have you, you know, with your own children,
Yes. You've
experienced a moment where you've had to work through the possibilities of something happening. Take us back and what happened with Randy?
You know, our son Randy had a heart problem from his birth, and that was that the electrical currents in the heart were in the back of the heart, so he can kick into arrhythmia very quick, and his heartbeat can go up to 300 beats per minute, which you can't sustain over 3 to 5 to 10 minutes. Mm. And I remember specifically he played football for Mauna Loa, and I went up to pick him up after practice, and he was the last fellow out, and he was laying there on the bench, and the coach didn't know what to do, and he was blue. And I said, call the ambulance quick. And so they called the ambulance, and they came over from Kaiser, and they said, we can't get him to the hospital fast enough. I said, well, what are we going to do? And so the guy took out these electric shock things and put them on Randy about three times, and he must have raised 6 inches off the ground each time that they put that shock treatment on. Fortunately, that saved his life. And Randy has had 6 different ablations to the heart, and he can't have any more. So my wife and I learned early that we had to give Randy up. And a few times we didn't think we were going to make it in Hawaii. You know how the traffic is there. Yes. And we could hardly get him to the hospital when it kicked into this arrhythmia. So we've had some real close calls. And over again, we have had to give Randy back to the Lord because we almost lost him a number of times. And whatever you have from God, hold it lightly. Because if God wants to take it, he can. And so we hold Randy's life very lightly, and we give it to the Lord, and we thank him for every year that we have Randy, but we've nearly lost him a number of times. And we just learned a spiritual lesson that whatever God gives you, hold it lightly. Let the Lord take it if he so desires. So we've been through some of those tough times, and I think we've learned our lesson to give our children to the Lord.
Knowing this, experiencing that, when you see Randy or Kevin or your kids or your grandkids, having experienced that depth of reality, how do you look at your kids now?
Yeah, I think they're a very special gift from the Lord, and of course we know that from the Psalms. But when you almost lose a child, you take that a lot more seriously, and that they're on loan from God. He's given them to us for a period of time, and we give them back to the Lord. We do what God calls us to do as parents, but we give them back to the Lord. They're a special gift, but for a period of time, and they belong to the Lord. And that lesson has been imprinted on Charlotte's heart and on my heart many times with our children.
Pastor Bose, this is a moment of tenderness as we speak of these issues of life.
Yes.
Pastor, can you lead in a prayer for someone who may be suffering from Alzheimer's, dementia? Could you pray for them? Pray for someone who is close to that place of transition.
Yes.
Maybe even a caregiver.
Yes.
Please, pray.
Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to share some of the things that you have laid on my heart and the privilege you've given me to minister to people as they walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Lord, I know there are many caregivers out there, And I just pray you would open their eyes to the help that is available, and that you would bring into their lives caregivers with the same heart, with the same love, with the same passion for the Lord, so that they might go through this together. And Father, for those that have loved ones that are nearing the gate of heaven, Father, give special grace, I pray. And sometimes there's a special need that's met at this time in their life. I just pray that by your grace, you would enable these caregivers to do that. And we thank you, Lord, for just the care that's out there that's available for everyone. I would just like to pray for my friend Jim, and just pray that you'd help him as he's with his wife in these last days, and the tremendous strain that's on his life, but the great joy that he's able to be with his wife and to love her to the end. And, Lord, we know there are many caregivers in that same situation. Give them grace, Lord, strength to be what you want them to be as they minister to others.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for this time today, for the privilege of being ministers of the Lord.
Yes.
In every situation of life. In Christ's name, we give you thanks. Amen.
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 Pastor Bowes, you are a gift from God.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, and I'm thankful to the Lord for who you are and the privilege that it has been to know you and to sit under your leadership and to be a part of your life. Thank you for your graciousness, your warmth.
Oh, thank you.
Pastor, you were going to say something?
No, I say thank you for the privilege. I really enjoyed sharing, and thank you for that good ministry you've got. You're in our prayers.
Thank you so much, Pastor Bowes.
Amen.
And as you've listened today, I hope that you were moved by the tenderness, compassion, and insights of Pastor John Bowes. God's timing is perfect, so he sets times up like these just for you. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, this is the perfect moment to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus, and we have a special feature presentation for you there. And perhaps you want to help us with your financial support as the Lord lays it on your heart and want to make a donation. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. Colossians 3 verse 12 says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to our guest, Pastor John Bowes. Until next time, along with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai, our guest coordinator, Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life.